This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about lettuce.
Yes. Oh, the puns. The puns. Also, this was a tough one we were talking about before, as we usually do. It's just a lot of side quests, as you put it, Lauren, with this one.
Yeah, because lettuce is a really broad term, as it turns out. And there's really like an origin story of every well-known varietal of lettuce that we could have gone into, but I think are probably their own episodes or mini episodes, or would fit better into something else that's related. Yeah. So yeah. It's not an episode about, like, Caesar salad. It's not. Ooh. It's not an episode about the evil Bibb family legacy. Which is a sentence that I didn't know I was going to have to say until Annie wrote a note in here about it. But
yeah, more on that in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was kind of like, oh goodness, I could talk about this specific varietal or this one or this one or this one or this one, and then. It's too much, and it's the holidays we're coming out of, and, you know, it's like, it was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We're coming out of the holidays. We are now in the holidays.
Yes. Honestly, yes. Was there any particular impetus behind this one?
You know, I was going through towards the end of last year, and I was picking all of these topics, and it was all of these rich, heavy foods that, you know, we really associate with the holidays and with celebrations. And I was like, would it be funny to follow up like cream liqueurs with lettuce? Would that be amazing and hilarious? And wouldn't it be great to talk about? So that's how it happened.
Yeah. And I believe we mentioned this. It's all a blur, the holidays, as you said.
But
we had our company holiday party, which was an interesting experience, as it always is. And there was a lot of leftover pizza and salad at the end of the night, which ended early. And I loved it. But I took home like half a like party tin of salad. I love salad.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, this was like a solid like half tray.
Yes.
Of heckin' salad.
Yes.
Yeah, I took home at least one whole pizza. So
we were doing our duty.
We were helping.
Absolutely. We're always here to help at parties if you need food or drink to get going.
Absolutely.
We're there for you.
Yeah.
But that was fun. I did eat all the salad.
Oh, good for you. Oh, I've let so many aspirational boxes of salad rot in my fridge.
I feel like I have a lot of friends that have a similar, like, every time I buy a bag of lettuce, it's going to go bad and I can't help it. I'm like, well, I mean, I understand it will go bad very quickly.
It does. It does. The thing is that I hate bottled salad dressing and so I refuse to buy it. But also if I'm like looking at that tub of lettuce and I like need a meal so that I don't murder everyone, I'm not going to stop and make my own salad dressing. So I should know this about myself. But every time, it's aspirational. I'm just like,
right,
maybe.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like a character trait. It should be on like your D&D card. Always wants a salad, never will eat one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah, that would be on mine.
I did think of, as I mentioned before, I love the show Wellington Paranormal. And reading this research, there's a joke in one of the episodes where there's an alien species who like clones them after the humans of the show in their image. But their one weakness is slugs. And one of the characters has just a very sad salad for lunch, and slugs have infiltrated the salad, and that's how they defeat the alien creatures. And reading through this, slugs are a real menace for
they
lettuce.
They are. They're a lettuce menace.
Like, oh, a lettuce menace. I love that. Oh, my gosh. And then I was reminded, as longtime listeners of the show will know, I love kale. And one time my ex's mother was telling me about how much she hated kale and she couldn't believe that I loved it. And she compared it to iceberg lettuce, which I like iceberg lettuce, but I was like aghast. I was like, how dare you? They are different things. They're not the same. Oh, I'm getting riled up just thinking about it.
They are very different creatures. It is true. I'm in no way disagreeing with you. Was she comparing them in terms of like it's a boring base for other things? Or
she said they had no flavor, which I would disagree. Like, whether or not you like the flavor is one thing, but I would say kale has a very strong flavor.
Yeah, much stronger than iceberg.
Yes, and again, I like iceberg, but I'm getting all, I'm okay, losing my words.
All right. Let me bring you back. So one of the things that this all made me think of, and then I was hanging out with my friend Jed yesterday, and he was like, okay, if you're doing an episode on lettuce, you need to talk about Let Us Surprise You, which was this local Atlanta salad bar chain. And I was like, you are correct, I do. And it didn't really fit anywhere else on the outline. So, I looked into it briefly. It was an Atlanta-based salad bar chain, was formed in 1987, grew to have 7+ locations in Atlanta and in Houston. Then, in less than a decade, accrued a debt of $5.4 million, was sold to a holding company, and I think is now defunct.
Oh. Yeah. We were discussing before that salad bar is one of my post, well, still a lot of COVID, but after pandemic mindset, hard to.
Seems even shadier than before to do the buffet, an especially cold buffet situation. Yeah.
My mom and I, we used to go to one. It was next to a Best Buy, and I lived in a small town. So when we made the journey to the Best Buy, we would go to Let Us Surprise You.
I lived near to one of the other locations, and so I think I went literally once, maybe twice. I'm not. I have to say, I wasn't a big on the salad bar trend. I was always like, I can make my own salads. Like,
right. That was one of the interesting things about my dad. He had a lot of food choices that me, myself, I was kind of like, huh, which I'm sure he had about me as well. He would always pay extra money to get the salad bar for his meal. Yeah, not always. I would say the restaurants we did that, it was frequently like you could upgrade to your side items could be just the salad bar as opposed to the other things.
Oh, that was always such a thing. What a weird.
Yeah.
I think we did briefly touch on all of this in our salads episode, but we really should do like a specific like buffet salad bar
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. speaking of, yes, you can see our salad episode.
Yes, which I wrote down twice because this was a throwback episode. We did this a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot we did it twice during this outline. I was like, I think we've talked about salad. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, we did. And then I came back and revisited it. I was like, I think we've talked about salad. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, we did. And I already looked up that we did. you can also see arugula.
Sure.
Our rocket, as it's called. Rocket salad.
Uh-huh. Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say briefly humors are mentioned in here.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you kind of mentioned, Lauren, you can check out Stuff You Missed in History Classes episode on lettuce, slavery, and the bib legacy, which goes into how bib lettuce is related to all of those things and much more in depth than we're even going to approach in this
episode. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, in general, Stuff You Missed in History Class does a superb job. If you do not already listen to them, check them out. They're great. They're great humans, too.
Yes. Yes, they are. But I guess that brings us to our question.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Well, lettuce. What is it?
Well, lettuce is an encompassing term for a lot of different varieties of these plants that grow with relatively short heads or clusters of broad, thin leaves, which we harvest and mostly eat raw as the main body of salads. Those leaves come in colors from whitish to yellow to green to red to purple and have a crisp or even crunchy texture and a flavor that can range from mild to strongly vegetal or herbal or sweet or bitter in various combinations. They're like a real delicate cabbage that like went and got a blowout. Did you ever do that thing like sort of as a joke where you wrapped a present for someone in like layers and layers and layers of boxes and paper? They're unwrapping for like 10 minutes and like maybe in the center it's just more paper.
Yeah.
Lettuce is like that, but like delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's somehow delicate and it can pack such a punch, but also in a way that's like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be filling, I guess, but it's so flavorful, or it can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
I do love it. I do love it. Botanical name, Lactuca sativa. Lettuces are a part of the large asteraceae or sunflower family related to artichokes and dandelions, and you can see our episodes on those. A lettuce plant, though, will have a single short stem from which leaves grow in overlapping clustered rounds at the center. As the leaves grow and get older, they form an outer layer around the new leaves that spring up from that stem. And lettuces come in two basic types, headed lettuce, which will grow in these tight ball-like clusters, and loose leaf lettuce, which does not. Iceberg lettuce is a headed lettuce. Romaine is a type of leaf lettuce, although there are looser varieties. But yeah, anyway. So the leaves can grow relatively flat or sort of scalloped anywhere to full-on ruffly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let them grow long enough, the plant will send up flower stalks that look like dandelions, like maybe like a dandelion crossed with a daisy, which is also part of the Asteraceae family, and will produce seeds with long, floaty bristles, like dandelion seeds, that will help them disperse. But lettuces are generally harvested before they do that because they turn bitter afterwards, and so, yeah, you just replant them from new seeds every year. If you do let one go to seed, like in your garden, those seeds will not necessarily produce the same variety of lettuce that they came from. I'm pretty sure this is due to their propensity to cross-pollinate. Just a side gardening note. Anyway, lettuces do like temperate to cool weathers. And leaves can be harvested from the outer ring off of the stem as needed, which is usually what you do if you've got some in your garden. Or you can cut the whole stem from the root, which is usually what happens for sale in a grocery store. And by the way, if you buy one with like a decent bit of stem still attached, you can pluck the outer leaves and set it in water and it'll keep growing. Though honestly, like more is sort of a curiosity than like a source of continuing nutrition.
Right. I've always been curious about that at the grocery store because you can buy the like living lettuce.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I don't know how I feel about that.
I think it's just supposed to be fresher than like the same way like living flowers are, you know. Yeah.
Mm.
It'll last a little longer in your fridge, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I've always been curious about it. I'm like, living.
Yeah, the way that you said that, you were like, is it a Frankenstein's monster?
I know.
Is it alive?
Is this like a Shop of Little Horrors thing I need to worry about? What's going on here?
Oh, goodness. Anyway, yes, the leaves are usually separated and chopped or torn and served raw in salads, often with other vegetation as an accompaniment. Sometimes a whole head, though, might be sliced or quartered and served like that, maybe given like a quick grill to develop some of the sweetness or bitterness. This is a thing that I had not had until maybe like 5 years or so ago, and it changed my life.
It's so good.
So delicious.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Huh. The leaves can also be used as a wrap or a scoop for other foods, sometimes used as a substitute for grain products like breads or rice. And again, you know, depending on the variety, they might be more of like a textural element of a dish meant to allow rich or bright flavors or creamy or crumbly textures to really pop. Or, yeah, they might add a distinct flavor of their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was the scoop thing is another side quest I almost went on because you can buy like at stores, you can buy lettuce wraps or lettuce cups now and just that whole blowing up of that. I did not go on that quest, but we'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. There are some dishes like some of my favorite like Thai salads often come with that kind of lettuce scoop situation. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Yes.
Yes.
So good.
Oh, my gosh. Which, by the way, I had. Thai papaya green salad.
Yeah?
What did you think? It was so good. I loved it.
I thought you would like it. Oh,
it was
yay.
So good. I saw it on a menu. As I said, I think I said in that episode, my little brother is vegetarian, and that means we eat a lot of Thai food when he comes to visit. And when he came to visit, I saw on the menu, I was like, nope, I'm getting it. And it was so good.
Oh,
very
yay.
Happy. But it did have like the salad scoop, a salad, like a leaf scoop situation. It was very good.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, speaking of, I guess, what about the nutrition?
By itself, lettuce is pretty good for you. Lots of fiber, spread of vitamins and minerals and good stuff in general. As with most vegetables, the deeper the color, the more nutrients it's going to contain. Yeah. You know, it'll help fill you up, I'd say, to keep you going, pair it with a protein, a little bit of fat, which is also how it's sort of delicious. So, yeah. I will say extracts of lettuce leaves and seeds have long been used as a sleep aid and for pain relief in folk medicines in various places around the world. Research has showed that lettuces do actually contain a couple of compounds that can help with those things. Fresh lettuce does not contain enough to really make a difference. More on that in the timeline. Again, savor motto before ingesting medicinal qualities of anything, you should consult with a medical professional who is not us because bodies are complicated and more research is required.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, we do have some numbers for you.
We do.
Yes, I would say the first one goes back to our point made at the top.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of types of lettuce. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
California grows about 75% of the U.S.'s lettuce crop. Yearly U.S. salad consumption was 25.8 pounds per person in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah. That same year, U.S. lettuce production was valued at $1.9 billion.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of like what like a pound of salad really looks
like.
Yeah.
I feel like that tray I took home from the party might have been it, and that's all.
Oh, that's multiple pounds of salad in there, I promise. Like based on my like salad bar. I mean, especially once you get into the other vegetables and the dressing. Yeah. Yeah.
There was cheese in there.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a good salad.
Heck yeah.
Anyway, there have been several lettuce recalls in recent years.
Yeah, yeah. Because lettuces are almost always eaten uncooked, there is more of a danger zone for pathogens to make their way from, you know, farm to table with lettuce than with a lot of other vegetation.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's kind of become a source of the butt of a lot of jokes. But James Beard once said, in defense of lettuce, many people damn it, but it adds good flavor and a wonderfully crisp texture to a salad.
It's true.
I mean, I think lettuce, there's a lot of factors going into whether or not a lettuce is going to taste good. I've had some bad lettuce in my day, but I've had some excellent lettuce
my day. Yeah, my platonic ideal of a lettuce is so nice.
Yeah.
Well.
People have, I would say, generally loved lettuce through a lot of history, actually.
Oh, yeah. And we are going to get into that history section as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport too. Is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, lettuce has been around a long, long time. Since at least 4,000 BCE, people have been developing new types of lettuce, though there is some confusion around it because a lot of similar plants were referred to as lettuce throughout history. So the early timeline on this one is a bit all over the place, but here we go. The first known cultivated lettuce originated in the Mediterranean. The ancient Greeks were probably one of the first at least, to cultivate it. And the ancient Romans followed suit. And the ancient Romans believed that eating it after a meal and before dessert would help them sleep, which I think I talked about in that salad episode, but that's still a belief. In some some cultures, or at least when I was like learning French, that was in my French book.
Yeah. For sure. Like, I find it super interesting, the divide between people who think that salad is a first course and salad being not a final course, but next to final.
As a like digestional aid specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or helping you sleep. As early as the first century CE, well-off Romans were eating salads that involved lettuce. And yeah, I mean, we didn't really say it, but lettuce is usually involved in salad. And salad is possibly an even trickier term than lettuce. Mm-hmm. The ancient Egyptians viewed lettuce as somewhat as a fertility aid because of the kind of phallic shape of it and the milky liquid that it produced.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Again, it is related to dandelions. Most lettuces that have been bred these days have not a lot of that going on, but right, yeah, it's definitely got a sap to it.
Mm-hmm. The seeds from the flowers were also pressed into cooking oil. One of the oldest known varieties, romaine, was featured on ancient Egyptian bas reliefs. And for a long time, most grown lettuces were used more as a medicinal thing for the oil from the seeds as opposed to like eating the leaves or for the milky liquid secretion. Oh. 6th century BCE, Persian kings were said to have enjoyed lettuce. So it was around. People were eating it.
Mm-hmm.
But the record is a bit murky. So the next thing I have on here isn't until 1562, which is when lettuce started showing up on English tables as something of a luxury item. Those that could afford it quickly planted it in their gardens, viewing it as a cooling agent in terms of the humors, which is why I kind of recommended that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, many recommended eating it with something acidic.
Huh.
I
mean, it's also tasty, but sure.
It is. That's kind of how, at least for me, that's how I usually eat it. Lettuce has been grown in the Americas since colonial times. In the 17th century, some people used fresh lettuce as an aphrodisiac, though this is one of the very, very few things I've seen that was once listed as killing your sex drive.
Right.
However, I found the original, I found what I used as the source in that episode, which I think was salad. And I'm not sure, it might have been a joke.
Oh no.
I don't understand old timey humor, Lauren. I can't tell. But it was implying that it would kill your sex drive. Maybe someone who understands old humor better can help me out.
can you give us like the quote? Like where, like, do you have it? Is it around?
So a friend of ours, Alex, who is a producer on a bunch of shows, has been on this show, used to edit this show. He gave me this joke book, and there is a joke about lettuce in it from the 14th century, I think. I'm not sure if it's the same one I used in the episode, but because it's in a joke book, okay. I'm like, well, maybe I just didn't get the whole thing.
Yeah. We will look into this further.
Yes. It's very important.
It is very important because, right, it was like literally the only thing we had ever seen referred to as not an aphrodisiac. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And somebody did write in with a counterexample. I remember a listener wrote in and was like, well, I've seen references that it is, which I think maybe a thing can be both, but perhaps, I just didn't understand the joke. Who knows? We'll get to the bottom of this.
We will. We will.
Oh, very important to us. Huh. And at the time, it was used for a whole host of medicinal purposes. By the early 19th century, there were 15 recognized varieties of lettuce in Europe and in the U.S. People were making salads using romaine by that time. But okay, let's talk about iceberg lettuce, which I think is what comes to mind for many Americans. I would love for listeners from other countries to write in.
Yeah.
But for many Americans, when you use the somewhat generic term lettuce, I think a lot of us are like iceberg lettuce. In many ways, the year-long usage of iceberg lettuce in the U.S. was the product of technologies developed for World War II, also World War I, but much more World War II. Things like new ways of pest and weed control, fertilizer, production automation, genetic manipulation, and centralized farms and factories. So it's like one of those things where we could have just talked about this, which is so cool to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So iceberg lettuce went into commercial production in the 1940s, though it had been grown before then in the U.S., and it was the mostly eaten vegetable in the U.S. by the 1950s.
Wow.
It was the lettuce. It was, that's what you were talking about. Most of it came from California, where it was grown year-round. By the 1950s, the transportation of chilled iceberg lettuce improved with vacuum technology, so that helped. It was more effective. This new technology was more effective than ice, and it was better at preventing spoiling. Ads for cellophane wrap that was frequently used with iceberg lettuce from the same decade promised cleanliness and freshness. That's something else I would love to look into more.
Oh, yeah.
But behind all of this, a wave of Mexican immigrants were propping up a lot of the growing and harvesting of this product, and most were not protected under labor laws, and it was heavy, physical, and laborious work. And for being a much bemoaned vegetable, which maybe I'm projecting, but that's been my experience, that iceberg lettuce is kind of like the sad lettuce.
Sure, right. It's always like, oh man, like I paid for this salad and it's got iceberg in it. What are we even doing here? Kind of situation. Yeah.
Right. Which again, there are factors in to go, I've had bad iceberg lettuce, but there can be great iceberg lettuce.
Absolutely. Hard agree.
Yes. But as early as 1979, people were nicknaming it the polyester of salad.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, like burn, damn.
Wow.
Iceberg lettuce has had a tenacious staying power, despite that, though. Lately, I've seen a real resurgence of wedge salads, which is, if you haven't seen it, but I bet you have, but basically a wedge of iceberg, sometimes charred, with blue cheese, bacon crumbles, tomatoes, and other seasonings. And this salad is actually credited with the so-called iceberg comeback in the U.S., because we've got to have a name for all these things.
We do, of course.
Uh-huh. And this is partly because America's largest producer of iceberg lettuce, Tanimura and Antle, I tried to look up the pronunciation, but I couldn't find it, so I hope that's correct, or close, which is out of California. And they were looking to boost iceberg's very soured reputation. So the story goes that they decided the flavor wasn't something they should so much be leaning on.
Okay. Fair.
So they ran with nostalgia, especially nostalgia around steaks, sports, and fathers. And if you're like me and you're like, what? Huh. It's because it used to be a big item on steakhouse menus in the 1950s. So here is a press release from them. And this was from like the early 2000s, I believe. Mother's Day has strawberries, Thanksgiving has celery, but historically no holiday has been associated with iceberg lettuce. What better product to claim ownership of Father's Day than the cornerstone salad of steakhouse menus?
Wow.
Yeah. I love that. What better product to claim ownership of Father's Day? Oh, man. Well, big companies got involved, like Walmart.
Yeah.
They advertised the whole thing. And it worked. Though perhaps not because of the whole Father's Day aspect.
Mm-hmm.
A good wedge salad is good. I mean,
it's just delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. But still, darker, leafier greens have seen a bigger boost in recent years compared to the fall and bounce back of iceberg, considering what it once was.
Yeah. I will say that that a wedge salad is, if it's on the menu at like a dad bar, like mm-hmm. a good solid dad bar, that's what I'm ordering. I'm excited about it.
It's one of those items where I'm always kind of like, yeah, sure. And then I get it. I'm like, oh, yeah. If it's a good one.
Oh, it can be so aces. Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely. Here's another rabbit hole for the episode. Lettuce bowls, which are bowls that are shaped like lettuce, not made of lettuce.
Right.
As we were talking about
ceramic
earlier.
Or plastic bowl that, or glass, I suppose, that mm-hmm. looks like a head of lettuce.
Yes. I love these very specialty dish items. Yeah. I really do. They rose to popularity during the 1960s in the U.S. You can find collectors bidding for them. I love it. I love it. I love it. Also, you know we love space food.
Yeah.
Yep. In 2015, astronauts tasted romaine lettuce that was planted, grown, and harvested entirely on the International Space Station. I believe we talked about that in our space food episode.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it in some episode before, but they served it with oil and vinegar, and it was allegedly a big hit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, so lettuce was the first food grown and eaten entirely in space. Specifically, they grew a red cultivar of romaine called Outrageous. Outrageous? Yeah, I'm saying that right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
They were testing all kinds of things about how it grew and the nutrients that were produced in it and the microbial action involved. There were control samples planted here on Earth. That was an entire thing. And furthermore, research is ongoing. There's talk about genetically engineering space plants like lettuces to contain medicines that human would need continual supplies of during long journeys. Like, for example, something to protect against bone density loss in microgravity. We need to do an update on space food for sure. But
yes.
Yeah, so cool. And also, like, it really did go over well. I mean, like, imagine having nothing but, like, the equivalent of, like, microwave or canned food for a month. And then mm-hmm. someone hands you a fresh lettuce leaf. And it's just like, oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Yes. Like, this is not the same experience at all, but I have friends who were helping me through a rough time, and I very much appreciate them. Heart goes out to them. But they kept buying me all these, like, really heavy foods. And I just remember breaking down one day and being like, I just want a salad. I need a salad. I need, like, a vegetable. I love all the things, but I need
a vegetable.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't totally understand people in space, but I kind of get it. Yeah.
I think most of us have had, I mean, I find that to be a very human experience of, like, this is great, and.
Yes.
In 2021, #lettucewater trended on TikTok with over 12 million views. And this is what I said I was going to come back to from the nutrition section, because this was a thing where people were making tea, or tisane, I suppose, with fresh lettuce leaves as a sleep aid. And, okay, there has been research into compounds in lettuces that do act as sedatives and pain relievers, but they have only been studied as extracts. You're probably not getting enough from fresh leaves in whatever format, whether it's a salad or what I imagine is not a very good tea.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. And I love a salad.
Right? Right?
I mean,
yeah.
Hot leaves are... Charred leaves, one thing.
Yeah.
Hot leaves?
I mean, I was trying to think about it. And like a wilted salad. Or maybe like even like if you get one of those good Thai salads and there's like a layer of romaine chopped on the bottom, like kind of to keep everything else fresh. Mm-hmm. But it's just been steeping and all of that really good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's delicious.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do, there are ways it can work, but they're very specific ways.
Right. Just making tea out of lettuce leaves isn't, I don't, I mean, it's probably a fine placebo. So if someone else does that, just don't tell them. Just don't tell them. If it works for them, that's great. Just don't have, make
Somebody's
sure.
Somebody's listening and like throwing their lettuce tea at the screen. Oh, I'm sorry. Reporting the facts.
My bad.
I love we've got these random TikTok facts on the episode now. I mean, listeners, let us know if you've had it. It's good. It could be. I'm open to things. I'm open.
Right? Yeah.
I like the research, but I'm open to taste and, you know, try.
Sure.
And genetic research is ongoing, very much ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
A recent analysis looked into 445 varieties of lettuce from over 47 countries, and another looked specifically at iceberg lettuce, and they created a full genetic map of it. And it was one of those things where it was both very, very dense, and I couldn't get past the paywall on a lot of them.
Oh, uh-huh.
But the title led me to believe that they isolated iceberg to like one specific. here it is. Yeah.
Oh, that path which is of ancestry. Cool. Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. I never thought I'd say this, but I really think that we need to do a whole episode on iceberg lettuce.
Agreed. Agreed.
Cool.
I love how many people looked into it. We're like, we've got to get to the bottom of this. That's our people. That's
oh,
we
yeah.
are.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. And you are also our people. We've gotten a lot of great listener mail recently. I cannot wait to share. But if you have any about lettuces, iceberg lettuce, or otherwise, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. If you have some photos of lettuce bowls.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got so excited about that.
Totally. But yes, we do already have some listener mail for you, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with the snow. Tossed salad. No scrambled eggs.
Wow.
I did get the stuff to make a salad on my recent grocery cycle run.
Oh, good for
I'm
you.
Very, very
good
excited
for you.
About it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tracy wrote, I'm currently listening to the artichoke episode and had to write in. Not only are they one of my favorite foods, try dipping the leaves in hollandaise, but you missed one of the most epic food mascots ever. Artie the artichoke is the official mascot of Scottsdale Community College in Arizona. Here is a legit.edu article about him. I guess you can schedule him for private events. I have no idea the origins, but it is fun to see Artie merch around the Phoenix area. I'm headed to Italy this coming spring, and I'm excited to try Jerusalem artichokes. I'll report back. Also, just for the sake of heckin' cuteness, here's an update on my puppy, Olive. First pick is her reluctant Halloween appearance as a cowgirl, the second from her puppy school graduation.
Oh.
Oh. It's so cute.
Aww. Oh,
and we have to do food mascots as an episode, but Artie the Artichoke. I think super producer Dylan has brought Artie the Artichoke to our attention before, but we were remiss and did not mention him.
He does look familiar. I just Googled and, right. He's a very friendly looking mascot. I love a friendly looking sports mascot.
I like friendly looking mascots and I like scary looking ones from afar. I don't want to be near them.
Honestly, they both frighten me, but
because I know super producer Dylan is a big fan of like food mascots, and I know he sent us like the raging okra one.
Oh, right.
And then I found after that, I went on the hunt and found a list of like top 10 scariest food mascots. And it was delightful and terrifying, which is what I wanted. So.
All right. All right. I'll put it on the schedule.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Okay. Tina wrote, Lauren's comment about Pop-Tarts resembling hand pies in the same way that lions are drawn by someone who has never seen a lion inspired this collaborative effort between my husband and me. And attached is a like medieval era composition of a dude holding a Pop-Tart and surrounded by these medieval era what are supposed to be lions and the meme caption is "We can has hand pies."
It's beautiful. It should be in a museum.
I laughed out loud so hard that I startled my cat.
I mean, we should print this. We need a like epic I guffaws.
It's amazing.
I love it. Oh, you're all so talented, listeners.
Also right? Talented. Mm. Heck.
Yeah. Well, thank you to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.